When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome back to the Pod Times YouTube channel. It is Tuesday the 29th of August. It is a few days after Celtic dropped the first league points of the season in a 0-0 draw at home to St Johnstone. We're also approaching a massive week in Celtic season as we approach the end of the transfer window, the Champions League draw and the first Glasgow derby of the season. Tony over at Four Times in a Podcast, we had a nice 2 years of pretty much constant positivity. It's been quite a turnaround in the last 2-3 weeks. We'll just start with Saturday. What did you make of it?
It was pretty boring. I think we should have won the game, I guess, with the chances Matt O'Reilly had, but overall, pretty poor against easily the worst team in the league, who have been battered off. I think Ayr beat them, Stirling Albion put 4 past them, Hearts had beat them, I think that was our first point of the season, somebody else had beat them as well, so it was pretty bad. The big guy doing the half-time challenge was pretty awful as well, but his message was good. So it was bad. I think after a bad result about Killy, you're expecting a response, you're expecting a high tempo intensity, you're expecting goals, you're expecting this was just a blip and we just kind of kick on. Whenever Ange kind of drop points, you usually get an automatic response, and we just didn't get it. I think you put a tweet out to say we had 20 corners and we were hopeless with all of them. Anthony Ralston, I think a minute ago, he gets a throw in, he just launches it right into their keeper's arms. Haks Ivanovic to Forrest to Burnaby and back. And it would have bored you to tears. I think that's the biggest insult you can throw at a team like this that was so full of energy and so good to watch on brand. It's now boring. It's very boring to watch. And I don't entirely blame Rodgers. I think he said after the Killy game in his quality, we've not signed anybody since then. That was 10 days ago. He needed quality. No signings in. I'll let you talk about the game because once we get going, I've got a lot to say. So I'll let you do your piece about the game, then come back to me and I'll everybody gather around and listen.
I think you're absolutely right. I think after the Kilmarnock game, we spoke about it on here last week, you couldn't have picked a better fixture to have as your next game. The team that was sitting bottom of the league had lost the first 2 league games, get embarrassed in the League Cup, just looked like the perfect game on paper that we would just turn up and play some nice football, rack up some goals and get a bit of positivity back amongst the team. I think it was just pretty evident from even before the game, like during last week when it was announced that Naroki and Carter Vickers were out for 2 months and the sort of realisation hit that you were going to have a sort of makeshift defence. And there was a bit of positivity before the game because Alistair Johnston was back. That was good to see. I think a lot of people were surprised he came back from straight into the starting lineup. So it was good to see that he was back. Thought he had a pretty quiet game, didn't have much to do. And obviously that defence of Lagerbielke and Scales. And it's just, no harm to Liam Scales. I hate to have a go at him, but I don't think I've ever seen a Celtic defender look as slow, try to bring the ball out and to bring Celtic forward. He looked like he was in a different time zone at times with the amount of time that he thought he had to labour on the ball and just sort of stroll out. And he looked absolutely terrified to make a mistake, which, I don't know, he obviously, I think he probably thought he was on his way out at Celtic, and with the three injuries to the centre-halves and the departure of Starfelt, then there's every chance he's going to have a big role to play for the next 2 months, and it's probably caught him off guard as well. And even Lagerbielke, like, he didn't instill me with much confidence. I know we didn't have much to do defensive-wise, but I thought the one time he was really tested was when the ball went through in the second half, and Stevie May, who's getting on a fair bit, just sort of like outpaced him completely. And if it wasn't for a great save by Joe Hart, then there's every chance we'd have lost that game on Saturday. And the midfield's just completely lacking at the moment. Midfield three, Turnbull, O'Reilly and Cal McGregor. Like, Matt O'Reilly has probably been our best outfield player for the first few league games, but I don't think that's saying much at this point. I think he has been much better than the other midfielders that are in about him, but I still think he's playing pretty average. And I know we've got a transfer show coming up later this week, but I see there's rumours going about in the last sort of half an hour or so that Leeds and Southampton are looking at him. And it's like, if we were to lose him, and I think you say this to me as well, if we were to lose him or Hatate, it'd just be ridiculous at this point, because David Turnbull, another one like Scales, who many thought was on his way out, and at a good pre-season seems to have just got him in straight into that starting position. I don't really think he's meriting that at the moment. And unfortunately for us, we don't have enough quality and depth to take him out of the team at the moment. And even going forward, Yang, who I thought was probably, him and Joe Hart, probably the only ones that he couldn't have a go at on Saturday, because I don't think they've done much wrong. And Yang actually looked like he was the bright spark in the team who was trying to make things happen. Apart from him, Kyogo, like you, I don't think it's all Rodgers' fault at the moment, but I think he's doing himself no favours with playing Kyogo the way he's playing him in this sort of false nine and dropping back 30 yards. It really does seem to be nullifying Kyogo. He's obviously finished top scorer by distance last season, and right now his game just looks completely snuffed out by the opposition. And Dyson Maeda, like that shot in the first half that hit the standing section, was just ridiculous. Like, I thought it sort of summed up that you have efforts like that more often than you get the effort they scored with Easter Road last sort of Christmas period. Like, it really is that one extreme to the other. And unfortunately for Maeda, it does appear to be the poorer quality at the moment. And the bench was just lackluster. Like, you've seen the guys that come off the bench. I thought, like, as you say, Ralston come on for Johnston. Don't think Ralston's good enough to be in the Celtic team at the moment. I say that in our season review. I thought that Ange's first season, Ralston had a good season and very much deserved his new contract. But I thought when he came back from injury, he just didn't look right last season. And I think that sort of continued. You've got guys like Haksabanovic, who clearly wants away. Like, we've seen that the morning after when he's posting stupid cryptic Instagram posts just talking about nobody appreciated. That's 2 weeks that we've relied on a guy who clearly isn't wanted by the manager and clearly doesn't want to be at Celtic. We've went to the bench and says, oh, can you come off the bench and rescue this for us? And it's like, he was just terrible. Forrest as well, just did his testimonial, shouldn't he be at the club either? In a sort of meaningful way, but even Rodgers in pre-season was saying Forrest was at a different stage of his career. I think that was sort of hinting that he's pretty much there to sort of possibly help the younger players on and to meet the homegrown criteria when you're playing in Europe. And it's like the heater he had towards the end was just like, yeah, I don't know how much time you would have needed to put that on target, but he had that in plenty. And it's just, it's sickening to see, because this is like from a fortnight ago or 3 weeks ago when that mob across the city lost the first league game and we'd won, albeit we weren't great against Ross County, but we'd won. We'd already had that advantage of them. I know we're still a point ahead at the moment, but it just feels like the momentum's starting to shift. It's two goalless games in a row for us, which I don't know if we've ever done that under Ange competitively. Like, it's, I know we had a few, we'd obviously 0-0 draw with Livy at home, but to have two games on the spin where we've not scored is just outrageous. And I think Rodgers probably takes some of the blame, but the board in general, as much as Rodgers is a top manager, they took a gamble with bringing back a guy who a lot of the fans didn't want back. We were all for him. We spoke very positively about him. But the gamble they took was bringing him back, and in my opinion, they've not backed him sufficiently enough. We're what, 3-4 days away from the transfer window shutting, and we're scrambling about for players. Every few hours, you see Celtic are linked with this, and then the next hour, you're seeing they've changed their mind. They want to strengthen, but they're not going to go for this guy or whoever else. And it just does feel like we're scrambling. And as I say, it's a massive week for the club, and we appear to be in complete disarray. I think it's probably, well, no, probably, I'd say it is today with the people running the club. And something needs to happen, because I say is, like, I maintained the whole time Ange was here, when we were on Four Times a Podcast, I say is, my worry when Ange was getting linked to every job was that when he went, the club would just sort of fall pieces. With no completely failing pieces, I know people on Twitter are accusing us of bedwetting and losing the plot too early, but we're in real danger of having a big part of your season affected when we really need to be on the front foot. Like, there's a lot of these players that need to stand up and be counted. We need bodies in to help them, because if you compare it to this time last year, everybody was buzzing for the Champions League. Everybody was wanting Real Madrid. We were wanting whoever we would get. And the way the manager was playing, you fancy seeing how we would stack up against the best in Europe. Everybody I speak to they now, they're not interested in this draw. They're dreading it on Thursday. They're worried that we're going to get teams that are just going to come and take 6 points off us when they play us home and away. And I don't blame them. I've seen people say the only sort of record that we might set in the Champions League is overtaking Rangers' record for last season when they became the official worst team in Champions League history. And do you know what? See, if we don't get good enough business done and the players don't start to turn it on a bit, then there's every chance that we will sort of go head-to-head with them for that record. And it just seems ridiculous. I know, that, as I say, there's no lot that's no savable yet, but We've been speaking off air. It feels like the COVID season, where there were signs early in the season that things weren't right, that things felt like they could go wrong. And in my opinion, I don't think we're too far away from that. I think that this week is absolutely massive. Like, hopefully next week I'm eating my words and we've signed 5 players that have went straight into the first team, and we've went and won 3-0 at Ibrox, and we're talking about how we're going to nab second place in our Champions League group. But I've got massive fears about how this week might go if we don't get a finger out of our arse, but I'll let you come back in, Tony.
I think, and that's just before I come on here, we were arguing with people on Twitter. Somebody calls you a bedwetter, and somebody says burn all fan media to the ground. And this is the same things people were telling to me, or the saying to me when Lennon was the manager, or keep the faith. Doesn't means nothing. That means as much as we are the people. Means fuck all. Means absolutely nothing. Just means, ugh, we'll just see how it goes. So you get hit with these kind of things, and I don't think it's the COVID season. I think we've got a much better manager, or in a much better position, but things are not quite right. And I think there's a lot of Celtic fans that just hate the idea of being negative, because they go, oh, fuck, that mob might get one up. And if we say things are not quite right, or we need to just pretend everything's all right, it's them, they've got financial troubles, we're going to beat them, and they're not very good. And it's all good and well wanting them to be shite, but it's just not the way it works. They've been good for a couple of years. We've just been better. We beat them to the league when they were the they went to the Europa League final. And sometimes it's all right to say that this could be a bit of a challenge and we need to make changes and we need to be better. And then the other thing you get thrown up, we've just won a treble. Great. Surely you want to win another treble and you want to improve. You don't just go, we've won a treble, let's let Rangers win the league, isn't it? And people say you're entitled, and maybe we are, aye. Maybe I do feel entitled. Maybe I feel Celtic should be the best at all points, and I don't want to give that up. If that makes me entitled, then fine. I want Celtic to win the league every year. I want them to compete cups every year, and I want us to improve in Europe. If that makes me an entitled fan, cool. No worries at all. Happy with that. I think the club at the minute are suffering for a few things, and I'll kind of watch how I word this. I think one of the major issues in their court is causing a lot of arguments is the presence of Peter Lawwell. Now, I don't mean Peter Lawwell himself, because Peter Lawwell might not be having anything to do with these transfers, right? He might just be this non-executive chairman that's nothing to do with it whatsoever, but his presence is just so negative. You go online, I was speaking to a guy at the gym and that's Lawwell backing up. That's the way it has been. Lawwell's there. It might be nothing to do with Lawwell, but his presence just has so many negative connotations that he shouldn't be there. Bringing him back was just the stupidest decision ever. He shouldn't have been brought back in any capacity whatsoever, because there's so many fans that don't trust him, don't like him, etc, etc. So it was a nonsense to bring him back, and that's it. Now everybody's going, oh, this is Lawwell. And people are going, oh, what about the January window? That wasn't great either. Lawwell had just come back. And this is the thing. People are just talking constantly about Peter Lawwell. And as I say, I don't know if he's in today. It's possible that maybe he has had an input. Obviously, we run a kind of family business where we've got the Lawwells at one side and the Desmonds at the other, which is stupid as well. We should be running a lot better than we are. And I think maybe one of the other big things we're suffering for is a bit of an Ange over, I suppose. And that was it. Postecoglou being here, he was loved and adored by everybody. He was running everything. People loved the way he played football. Obviously, we dipped a wee bit towards the end of last season, but the ultimate goal was achieved. We became the world record holders for trebles. So he's gone, and I think you're watching him beating Man United, and then we lose to Killy. You watch him go second or third in the Premier League. We draw 0-0 with St Johnson. And I think people are, as much as people say, I don't care, I'll never look, people must be having a look and going, oh, fuck, I miss Ange a bit. One of the other things I totally misjudged is how many people hate Brendan Rodgers, Celtic fans. I really totally misjudged. I thought when he came back, everybody would have been on side, and it's not that way at all. Just being out over the weekend in Glasgow and chatting to people, just so many people despise him and really don't like him and never wanted him back, and I don't think they can take to him at all, which isn't it a great thing, especially, like, for example, the Green Brigade, who are so crucial to the atmosphere. They weren't happy on Saturday. I think everybody was the same. There were a lot of people booed, and they obviously don't like him. And I think there needs to be a kind of unity for these things to work. And don't get me wrong, I think Rodgers can get everybody back inside if he wins Sunday. And look, football's a crazy game. Look, the more they could go to PSV, we beat them on Sunday, and it's them that's having crisis talks. But in terms of the window, I think we've made a total ass of it. The guy Kwon signed him, pointless, absolutely pointless. McGregor's not been anywhere near it. O'Reilly's been okay. Turnbull's okay. Hitati, apparently, there's some kind of issue with him and he's injured. And Kwon can't get near it. A total waste of money. Total waste. I don't get it. But he couldn't get a look in. I don't think Home came on Saturday, did he?
Nope, Home and Kwon and Tomoki Iwata were on the bench on Saturday and didn't get on.
So there's your two signings. We're talking about adding real quality. I think that tells you what the manager thinks. He obviously doesn't really particularly think these players are that impressive. Yang, I think, is okay. I think he'll come good. Telio, we've signed. He's still injured, but a weird one. But we'll see how he gets on once he's fit. So now it's the 29th. We've got 2 days left. Palma's apparently, I think that is a done deal. There was a Swedish boy we were linked to earlier on. Now we're not going after it. And you criticise these things and people go, oh, well, the player didn't want to come. And, oh, they're charging too much money. You thought, well, why would we not go for this guy in June? Why would we not say in June here? We'll start negotiating. Then we'll have him in for July. then we can give him time. But even if we get these five signings in the door, we get the left back, the goalkeeper, the centre mid, the winger, the striker, can he just throw them on at Ibrox for the first game? I would. It's not going to work. There's not enough time to gel. They'll be lucky to get a training session. So Sunday feels like an uphill battle already because we've fucked about for so long. There's still so many players. I mean, it's 2023 and you're bringing James Forrest on to win the game. And I think the club kind of, they bigged his testimonial up and bigged him up. And again, you need to remember, a lot of fans don't think he's a particularly great player. I know he's got 100 goals, 100 assists, but he's been there for 14 years. A lot of people think he's had bad a lot of bad seasons, and the club kind of made it out as if he's this Celtic legend. I think that's just nonsense. And to still be playing him, I think, it's just daft. Scales looked, as you say, as petrified. So many opportunities when the ball was bouncing, he could have cleared it or get it back to his goalie, and he just ended up flapping. Shouldn't he be playing for us? And it's a shame for him because his confidence will probably be good doing that. If he's been told to start at Ibrox, he'll probably be dreading it. There's no way that guy would be looking forward to that. McGregor looks so isolated. So I don't know what they're going to do for the midfield. Rodgers will need to work that out. We need more. He was talking about power, pace, and dreaming of the Champions League. Who the fuck's dreaming about the Champions League? I'm dreading the Champions League. I just keep saying, imagine me playing Man City, and I watch that big fucking freak up front for them, and I wonder what he would do against Ralston and Scales and Joe Hart. I mean, it's just. And I remember last season thinking, I convinced myself that we were going to beat Real Madrid at home. And we gave it a fair whack. We should have taken the lead. And obviously their class kind of shone through. But it's just been the most bizarre window ever for me. Where we've went and get Rodgers back. And I think everybody's thoughts was, oh, there's no way he's coming back. We've known he's getting all this money to spend and make a right go at the Champions League. And oh, this kind of stuff. And now it's just, I don't understand it. I think his press conference this week will be interesting. Surely somebody's got to ask the question, are you happy with the club's business? Because against Kelly, he says we needed more quality. And what if they don't add it? What was his response? Does he go after the board? I think we're in for a rough week. I think Sunday's going to be difficult. I know a lot of people are still in the camp. They're shiting, but 50,000 are there, none of your fans. I think whenever that's happened before, there's been no fans, the home team wins. If we're going to go there and get anything, we're going to need to be really resolute and need to be strong. And at the minute, we look pretty weak, to be totally honest. I mean, St Johnson could easily have won that game in the end. So I think there's big concerns for Sunday and for the rest of the season. So, not good.
No, you're right. I think covered a lot. I think, as you say, it doesn't help that a lot of the support weren't on board completely or at all with Rodgers coming back. And do you know what? See, on Saturday, I actually thought I'd give Rodgers a bit of credit because he actually went running with the players, whereas he didn't do that on the first league game of the season at home when we won. So I think that was him sort of standing up saying, look, I'll be here to take the flak as well. So I think him doing the sort of lap of applause was. I think there was a wee bit in that's shown that he's ready to go for it, and he's no fear to take the booze or take the abuse that he's getting from some sections. But as you say, I think it's just, you look at last season, season tickets continually sold out. Last season we released 4 kits, record-breaking sales with Champions League money and 2 seasons in a row now. Sold Jota for a fortune, got a good whack for Starfelt, and yet, as you say, people are calling us bedwetters and saying, oh, what are you expecting the club today when these moves are still falling apart with a week to go, less than a week to go? Like, this Palma guy, like, the Rangers were linked to him a few months ago, so he was clearly a player that people were aware of, and as you say, why not get this done in June? Jota was sold in June, we should have had an adequate replacement in. Like, we brought Telio in, clearly known he was injured. Yangs came from Korea, still a young guy. It wouldn't have killed them to just go out and spend a good few. Like, I think Palmer's 23. Probably not a finished article yet, but at least he's a wee bit older than these sort of 19, 20-year-olds we're bringing in. Like, the money should have been spent. I think you can sort of give him a wee bit of leeway for the centre halves, because he obviously spent money on Lagerbielke and Noroki, and obviously having Noroki, Carter Vickers and Welsh all get injured at the same time is pretty unfortunate, but still, they need to get somebody in, even if it's a sort of loan deal, they need to get somebody in right now, because as you say, it's just the centre half pairing, like it could be, it probably will be Scales and Lagerbielke at this point at Ibrox, and well, that's good enough to stand up to them on Sunday. I don't know, it will remain to be seen. As you say, I think Lawwell's presence doesn't do anybody any favours. There's people like me and a lot of others who just have negative feelings towards him every time we see him, just because of how sort of the mess they left Celtic in. And I agree with you, I don't think he should have ever been anywhere near Celtic Park. And like, he's there when the trophy was getting presented last season, when Forrest is unfurling the league flag. Like, it's just a sort of bitter taste about it, because I don't think there was ever any sort of apology for him towards the fans about how the club acted that season. And like, he was a guy who was like chief exec and who sort of watched Ura's no win a knockout tie in 20 years. Like, he was a man that was sort of running the show. And as you say, you can't say too much, because he might just be sitting back doing nothing, and it's just his mere presence. It's starting these rumours saying, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that. He's the one still running the show. And I'm not saying that's what is happening, because I'm just not privy to that information, but as you say, I think his presence is just completely distracting. And as I say, a lot of fans like myself just have sort of negative connotations to Lawwell. And even like Desmond, who turns up a few times a season, doesn't seem interested, never sort of passing on his shares. Like, I think that a lot of fans look at him as, like, for the last sort of 20 years, like, no been able to help us progress. Like, you've got people like Livakovic and Reader signing for teams, and some of the reported figures, you're thinking, why is that no in Celtic's sort of capacity to go and sign their players? Like, it feels like we've not really improved the sort of wage structure and gradually increased it. Like it feels like we've been stuck since, like, the Stratton days. Like, we obviously paid well during under Martin O'Neill, but it feels like from the Stratton days, we've not really progressed. We've stuck to the same sort of model where we look to bring players in on the cheap. And I'm not saying you just all of a sudden go and spend 15 million on three players, like, to spend like 45 million, but there should have been some sort of gradual increase. And we just keep hoping for the best. And I, every now and again, you'll get a gem of a signing that you can punt for massive money. Then, but you look at the sort of previous few years with our big money signings, they've all sort of paid off. Guys like Edward and Julian, Jota, Carter Vickers, the guys were spending 6 million plus on, like, most of them are getting right, and they're really shining out in this team. And as you say, it's just, I think it's ridiculous that a business isn't done. Even worse, that the manager was publicly out after Kilmarnock saying that we were needing players. Like, you're talking about a club who, when they released their half-year report or whatever it was in June, had to then release another statement saying, oh, by the way, we've got a lot more money than what's going to come out in this. And it just feels like we're not interested in really progressing, and which just didn't seem to marry up with what the fans want and what a lot of people thought Rodgers was back here to do. But as I say, we've got a few episodes coming up this week. We'll have we've got a transfer show coming up tomorrow. I think that'll be, we're going to have us two, Andy, and I think we might have a new member on speaking about transfers. So keep an eye out for that. Tony, how are you feeling going into this? As I say, it's such a massive week. We've got Thursday afternoon, evening time, we'll have the Champions League draw. Friday, we've got transfer window closing, and then Sunday, it's just constant. I don't know about you, I'm sort of constantly worried at the moment, because it just seems to be going from bad to worse, and we'll cover it in a lot more depth. But do you worry that we might even lose a few more keepers? There's been links with like guys like Abada and Matt O'Reilly like recently. Do you think there's as much chance that we'll lose somebody from the first team as we do bring somebody in?
I don't know. I know I've seen the report that somebody's interested in Matt O'Reilly, but I would just feel like gross negligence. If I know already at that stage, if we just start punting our best players and not bringing in any replacements. No, something's far wrong. I don't know exactly what it is that's wrong, But it'd be interesting. I'm intrigued to hear what Rodgers has to say. Because if he has to come out and call out the boards in action, then I think all holy hell's going to break loose, to be totally honest with you. So, the whole thing just seems very bizarre. I mean, releasing that stupid statement about how we're actually more cash rich, and that's good. Spend it. I think people are still terrified for the Rangers getting busted. We like to go, oh, we've got more money than Rangers, and I couldn't give a fuck. I would rather we just went nuts. Go and sign players. That's all. Oh, we can't offer wages. Why no? They charge us more money every year. Why don't they up the wage structure? They bring out all these kits. They bring out the Celtic story, Celtic the musical, Celtic fucking this, Celtic that. You know, there's all these different avenues they make money. But why not break the wage structure and say, look, we're going to have a right go at it? And as you say, whenever we've splashed the cash, we've broke more money in. Edward, we made money on, made money in Jota, made money in Dembele, even Tierney. These are guys we didn't spend massive amounts on like that. But the likes of Edward, the money we got for him and the fact of how good he was outstanding. So it feels something's wrong. So, but the, you know, who knows what will happen tomorrow. Maybe Rangers will go out and your fans will be happy about that, but then it'll feel we've got even a bigger financial gap to them and we've still not spent the money. Or if they get through, they get extra money. And they spend money they don't have, never mind money that they have. So don't be surprised if they come in and sign more players. So I think the window's been a disaster, to be totally honest. And barring an absolute miracle in the last 2 days, I think it's going to be a really difficult season. And I can't wait.
No, I think you're right. I think you don't want to talk until it's done. But at this point, I would agree with you about the transfer window being sort of disappointing at this point. I think you can even argue that the last one was disappointing as well, apart from Alistair Johnston. I think O's sort of yet to be proven, but I think the last two windows have been pretty uninspiring, and we could really do with a boost. I know all we've done is tear into them, but if they can just pull something out of the bag the last few days, like we've had previous transfer windows where deadline day we've brought in good players who have come in and done a really good job, most notably guys like Jota and Carter Vickers, recently Jackie Marcus, like you've even gone years back, you've got many other examples. But as I say, as people said, like, if we win on Sunday, it'll all turn around. I'd be delighted, of course, if we win on Sunday. We'd obviously stretch our lead. Well, I say that, we are. For all the slagging that some parts of the City are getting us, our nearest rivals are St Mirren and Motherwell right now. They're not even in the top three at this point. So we'll leave it at that in terms of, I don't think they should be throwing stones at glass houses at this point while we're currently still top of the league. Like, as I said, all is not lost. There's a big few days coming up for both teams, as Tony says. Like, if they, depending what competition they end up in, they might bring a few more players in and that puts pressure on us. And at the same time, if they don't get any Champions League, then at the same time, your supporters will be expecting us to sort of hammer down that advantage. Like, and for me, that's one of the most disappointing things for the Celtic board in the sort of last 20 years. It feels like every time we've had the chance to really hammer down that advantage and put some distance between the two is that we're no willing to do it, and that they always seem to find a way to claw back to us, which is unfortunate. But as I say, we will be back this week. We've got a few episodes planned. Tomorrow night, we will be discussing transfers at large. We'll be looking at all the ins so far, all the outs, and we'll feature all the rumours that fly about between now and tomorrow as well. So let us know if you hear any as well, and we'll be sure to have a look at them and see if there looks like there could be any truth. But thanks everybody that's joined us. I know we've not had much time to get to the comments tonight, but I know it's been quite a lot, so thanks everybody that's got involved there. As I say, make sure you're subscribed and notifications on, and follow us on Twitter as well if you're wanting the latest up-to-date sort of content from us, although that is constantly just us being a bit negative and arguing with people who are calling us bedwetters and just panic merchants. But I hope we are just sort of in a few weeks seen to be that people that just panicked or nothing, and hopefully everything is sort of put to right and all be right with the world. But aye, until then, thanks very much for watching, and we will speak to you tomorrow. Cheers.
Keep the faith.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.